Long-term gas PPAs underpin supply security, investment in infrastructure, and transitional flexibility. However, if poorly designed or overly rigid, they risk locking in high emissions or misaligned infrastructure. To find out more about how these contracts are playing an instrumental role in Europe's decarbonisation journey and how to overcome the risks associated with these types of agreements, I spoke to Niels Beenen, Vice President and Head of Sales, Industry and Power Stations at Uniper. This episode is brought to you in partnership with Uniper, an international energy company based in Germany, operating around 19.5 gigawatts of generation capacity in Europe. With a specialty in flexible low-carbon power, there was no better fit to have this conversation. I'm Pamela Larg, and this is the Energy Transitions Podcast.
Niels, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about the important topic of long-term gas PPAs. But I think just to set the scene, tell us, how is Uniper positioned currently in the market and what is your strategic focus?
Thanks for having me here and directly jump into the answer. So we as Uniper, we are one of Europe's largest integrated power generators and play a core role in the gas business. And we as Uniper, we really stand for reliable energy, and important is that this energy arrives when and where it's needed, especially in our core markets. And these core markets are basically Germany, and there we supply around 1,000 municipalities and industry customers with our energy and services. And when we are talking about energy, we are talking about gas and power, green and grey. And our strategic focus is based on two main pillars. The first one is to ensure security of supply. And second one is to accelerate the energy transition. So in the power area, we are transforming our own power plants and facilities, and we will be investing in flexible and predictable power generation. And we are pushing ahead with the further expansion of solar and wind and energy as a key to unlock more sustainability in the future. And coming from power to the gas side, there we will strongly focus on long-term security of supply for our customers and for the whole European and especially German market. And I think this topic we will tackle in the upcoming minutes. And the key really to success for us as Uniper is to strengthening the competitiveness of the European energy-heavy industry. We have a really energy-heavy industry, and we have to strengthen the competitiveness there because this is really a tense situation at the moment.
Indeed, and we certainly will delve into that role of gas that is still quite prominent and on the agenda. But I would like to touch on some results that were found in a report that was recently released by Boston Consulting Group. And I wonder if you can maybe highlight some of those results that you found particularly pertinent. I believe that there are some differences, for example, between the Asian and European markets, and perhaps even some lessons that could be learned in terms of what's happening on the Asian side. Am I correct?
Yes. When we have a look into these Boston Consulting Group analysis report, I found also thoughts from myself in these analyses. And when you compare the Europe situation with the Asian supply situation when it comes to long-term gas contracts, in my point of view, and this reflects also the analysis from the Boston Consulting Group, is that Asia doing things right on this side. So Asia secures its gas supply by concluding long-term supply contracts. And I think the share of long-term supply contracts are 90% of the whole demand from Asia. And to compare it with the Europe-term supply share, which are closed with long-term contracts, we are talking in Europe at the moment, I think, around 70%. So when you compare the 90% with the 70%, so a gap of 20%. And the Asian countries are highly risk averse and focus on price stability and security of supply, while Europe tends to act in the short term. For sure, that depends a little bit also due to the history we had with the Russian Gazprom supplies in the past. But now things changed and we have to change. And the Asian industries and also the industry customers are prepared to enter into long-term purchase commitments due to the fact that is the strategy for decades, to be honest. And the exporters and projects financers have planning security and can thereof offer projects at lower prices. And the Asian buyers are more willing also secure volumes before reaching FID stages. And that is very interesting because the most attractive terms are offered before FID. And this is what in the Boston Consulting analyzes and also from my personal view that makes Asia very good at the moment when it comes to long-term contracts and the gas side. And for sure, the government framework condition and industry policies in parts of Asia prioritize these security of supply. And we talked already about some advantages. Due to these commitment to LTCs, Asia benefits from lower and more stable gas prices, as they are not dependent on the short-term market fluctuations we see in Europe sometimes, and especially in the last 3-4 years. And the high contract share reduces dependence on the volatile spot market. So you have smooth price fluctuations and secures physical deliveries even in times of bottlenecks. And I read, especially we in Europe, we had some bottlenecks in the last years, and there you are a little bit more secured on this side. And this for sure strengthens also competitiveness and long-term investment capacity of Asian industry. And let's come a little bit from Asia to Europe in comparison. So we in Europe, as I mentioned, roughly 70% long-term contracts on the gas side. Many long-term contracts in Europe are linked to short-term price indices. So not really fixed price or price corridor that is not everything, but very spot related. For sure, we in Europe, we have regulatory uncertainties, so credit risks and also uncertainties on the demand side due to the tense competitive situation, so really lack of long-term downstream offtake commitments because the industry is not really willing to commit to demands for long-term gas contracts. And the result is that for sure we have less attractive long-term offers, and that is a little bit the chicken and egg problem. So from the upstream side, we need the downstream commitments from the customers. If we do not have this commitment, it's very difficult for upstreamer like Uniper to negotiate good conditions for long-term contracts. And that is a little bit the conclusion we have on the table.
Indeed, it's a fine balance, Niels, I can imagine. And as you say, big impacts on competitiveness and energy security for Europe. So how vulnerable is Europe at the moment or not in this regard? And also in terms of gas price fluctuations?
According to the BCG report, Europe is currently very vulnerable to fluctuation in gas prices. That is really due to Europe's structural purchase strategy. Europe's energy security has become more unstable due to the high prices and volatile markets we have in the last years. And 28%, roughly 30% of LNG demand is not covered by long-term contracts in Europe. And also many pipeline and LNG contracts will expire by 2030. So that is not really a long-term contract. So if we have contracts that will expire by 2030 without new long-term agreements, we have not these 70% anymore of LTC share. We have maybe roughly 50% European gas supplies in the long term. And so we would be more dependent on spot markets. And the BCG study warns, I think they called it cliff effect, in which a large part of demand could suddenly be unsecured. And at the moment, we have, from my perspective, no really coordinated instruments for price stabilization or hedgings. So the volatility I mentioned before, in the recent years, we had spot prices fluctuated between 30 euro per megawatt hour, yeah, and over 300 euro per megawatt hour during the 22 energy crisis. For sure, that is really a that was the worst case scenario, and we had the worst case scenario, but it is still volatile. Not so extreme, but it could be. And the industry purchasing policy is strongly short-term orientated. Due to the fact that we had not so much fluctuations in the short-term market pricing, because in the past, for example, when you have a look on the years 2000 until 2020, there was not so a huge fluctuation in the spot market prices. But that changed dramatically, and so we have also to change our purchasing strategy on this side. But at the moment, we see not the pressure and not the commitment from three main actors, and the three main actors are politics, upstreamers, and the downstreamers, to work together on these issues. And for sure, then it could be that we have, again, price shocks as soon as wholesale prices rise, or there is still a high volatility again. And that is the case, that we are vulnerable there, but we have not the vulnerability we had directly after the crisis. So we made a lot of changes, for example, building up LNG capacities, bringing LNG. So the security of supply issue is not so there from my perspective. For sure, we will have price volatility, but the security of supply structure is much better than in 2022. So we did also a lot of things right on the capacity side, so to bring in gas, and now we have to improve more the how expensive is the gas now, and that is now the challenge we have to face.
I want to drill down, focusing more on Uniper's perspective specifically. Obviously, you are in the process of decarbonizing your assets. I know in terms of coal, you're looking to decarbonize. You're looking to achieve a coal phase out by 2029. However, in terms of the gas portfolio, that's pretty solid, and that's going to basically take you into the 2030s. So gas is still really an important part of the Uniper portfolio. So how are these long-term PPAs facilitating this process or playing into Uniper's strategy in this regard?
So we... And also, I personally am fully convinced that we need longer gas than I think expected 2 or 3, 4 years ago, where we had really the green sustainability wave. Yeah, for sure, sustainability cars are super important, but we need also a stable industry business. Otherwise, we will fail. And that is really important. And a little bit coming from the gas to the power transformation, which is also key, yeah, to reach competitiveness. On the one hand, on the other hand, also the sustainability targets we have and also Europe have. And how can long-term PPAs facilitate the renewable infrastructure projects? So PPAs secure really a long-term investments and also operating costs, which are necessary for financing the construction of new flexible wind and solar power plants. Enable long-term energy prices to be offered to industrial customers is super important. And this potential leverage, for example, a PPA. So a PPA enables long-term energy prices, very similar, for example, from a gas perspective. So with the PPA, you have, for example, the price stability, because PPAs are basically fixed price orientated and not really spot orientated. So you have really a security of planning. And for sure, PPAs improve also cash flow forecasts and facilitate loans. Yeah, that is really the big advantage from PPAs. But also on the PPA side, we see the demand issue we have. So really not a strong commitment due to the not clarified competitive situation over the next upcoming years. The customers, and that is fully understandable, are very restrictive in closing PPAs, because we have the same issue which we have on the gas side. And what's really the demand in 2030? of a huge industry, energy heavy industry customer. And this is the same issue we have on the power side. So commitment in long-term contracts called PPA on the power side is very limited at the moment. And we need to push for it because it is so important that we are now act in both areas, in the gas and in the power area. Otherwise, we will not have any more enough assets and enough renewable assets to get our transition to a sustainable energy system done. And that is a little bit also here the chicken and egg problem. We are all willed to do something, but we have not the security to act. And therefore, we need also here a political framework for the customers and also for the upstreamers or developers in the PPA business to say, okay, I take some risk, but I need also some securities to do it. Because to be the first mover is in these tense industry situation difficult.
I was actually going to ask you about that, Niels, because like you said, it's within the power landscape, within the gas PPA landscape. You've got these risks. How do you mitigate them, especially in such a risk-averse landscape?
Yeah, maybe let's, before we're discussing about risk, let's discuss also a little bit of the benefits of a PPA, because we have a lot of benefits also when we're talking about PPA. I mentioned some advantages. So you have greater price stability, so less price volatility in an event of crisis. You have a greater investment security. You have predictable energy cost. You have improved competitiveness. And for sure, and that is very important, achievement of climate targets. Also, when we are talking about EU ETS 2, yeah, so certificates for CO2 will rise up. Yeah, and if you, and the pressure, and you have now to deal with this pressure and have to discuss and calculate business cases when it makes sense to invest in a PPA. So these are really big advantages also on the PPA side. And then for sure, you have also risks on the PPA side. And I would like to differentiate between more risks for developers, upstreamers, and more risk for downstream perspective. And when we are talking about risks from a developer perspective, for sure, you have a long-term price lock-in risk. Yeah. When we are selling a fixed price for 10 or 20 years, that limits the upside if power prices or market conditions improve. Yeah? And one very important risk, and we negotiate it with our counterparties in detail because it is so important, is the counterparty credit risk on both sides. So the deterioration risk we have to deal with, and we need the collaterals from both sides if they are required after credit analysis. And then we have also one risk from an upstream developer perspective, and that is not so common, but it's the exit and asset liquidity risk. So when you have a long-term PPA and this asset is very hard to sell, as buyers must take over the contract, often leading to valuation discounts. So to exit from a PPA is not so super easy. And then sometimes we have also multi-off-taker, so-called cohort risk. So when we are talking about shared PPAs and add complexity, so we have different corporate cultures, credit profiles, decision speeds, and that can slow execution and create friction. That isn't very easy to tackle if you have more off-takers into one PPA. So that's a little bit the risk from developer perspective, and risk from off-taker perspective is for sure a fixed price disadvantage if market price falls or fall later. Yeah, because you commit now for price and then the market decrease, for sure then you have the fixed price disadvantage and the flexibility risk with purchase quantities if production declines or energy demand changes. And PPAs are legally and technically sometimes very complex, and you have to deal with it. But from my perspective, the counterparties we negotiate with from a downstream and from an upstream perspective are able to do this very well. So that is a little bit the risk we have from both sides, developer and off-taker perspective.
Well, Niels, I really appreciate you taking us through this really complex landscape. And it's absolutely fascinating. Do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners before we finish up?
Yes, because these risks we talked about from gas and also from power perspective, I'm fully convinced that we can tackle this challenge together. We can tackle it from a political point of view. We can tackle it from a downstream point of view and also from an upstream point of view. But I think we have to do it together. Yeah? And we have to align very well what is our core target and then clear define what can we as Unipa or upstreamer and what can the industry business and what can we can the regulatory politicals bring on the table and then discuss it how we achieve the target together. But because I think we all three stakeholders have the same ambition and the same target, but it's now a little bit difficult to reach it because we have no framework and we are not sitting together at the table to discuss it in detail. So that we have to tackle, and we talked a lot about risks, but there are so many opportunities in. And we, in Europe, we have one of the best energy system, gas and power, and we can deal with it. And I think that is very important to mention and to set the scene. There are risks, but we have to be confident enough to deal with it.
Indeed. And make sure that upstream, downstream, and those policymakers have a spot at the table to really capitalize on these opportunities. Niels, thank you so much. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much, Pamela.
And thank you to our listeners. Until next time, goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Energy Transitions Podcast, brought to you by Enlit and Friends. That's a wrap from me, Pamela Logg, and our producer, Kamo Motse. We hope you can join us next time. Visit enlit.world or subscribe for more episodes.